Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Content warning and trigger warning for this podcast. There's a lot about sexual assault and rape. Is there anything else that we think?
And a lot of violence.
But we don't describe.
We're not going to describe it. But we're going to mention it.
We're not going to describe it. But there's also discussion of like death and murder and all of the intense things.
Hello and welcome to the Bangy Book Club. My name is Lena Norms.
My name is Lucy Moon.
And I'm Sonna.
Hey! You need like a suave Sonna Blee.
Sonna from Books and Quills.
So this episode, we are going to be talking about The Power by Naomi Alderman. But first, Parish Notes. Hannah Witten has lived through her ordeal and is on the up. She hasn't joined us for this episode, but as you will notice, Sonna from Books and Quills has come to take her place.
I'm in the room. I'm ready to talk about books.
Mm-hmm. Yay! So because Hannah's a little bit ill at the moment, we thought, oh, who's read The Power and is awesome at speaking about things and is our friend? Oh, wait! It's Sonna.
It was me.
So Sana's here to talk to us about The Power, and we're very excited to have her.
I'm not here to talk to you about The Power.
Oh, okay.
Before we go any further.
Yeah.
Bangy Book Club is the fortnightly podcast where we talk about a book about sex or gender, which we read once a month. I hope everyone enjoyed that nice summary.
We need Hannah back. We can't remember our own intro.
So Hannah is the organised one, and I'm happy to admit that. We are held up by her, inherent ability
I would
to
say
organize.
That she's Hermione and you're Ron. Yeah. And I'm Harry. Anyway,
I did bring notes today because I'm a blue personality type. God, so I couldn't help myself.
Wait, I'm sorry, you're a what?
I'm a blue personality type.
There are color personality
types.
Yes,
there's four.
Oh my goodness, are you serious? I'm so excited. Can you tell me all about them after this podcast?
I will.
Oh, I love personality tests. I'm a type 9 on the Enneagram.
I'm a 7. New experiences. Anyway, this is a new experience. Segue back into the podcast. Obviously, the tradition is, as Sana is a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yes.
We do noise reviews. So, Lucy, would you like to start?
No, because I haven't come up with an... Okay. There we go.
You possibly let me electrocute then. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was pew, 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 pew. Boom.
Also very appropriate if you've read it. I think mine is going to be very simple.
Short, sharp.
I wonder how much we're peaking our audio this week.
Yeah, I think we're all right, actually.
I hope you're all enjoying yourself at home. I just would like to say as well, my noise review was a verbal interpretation of my anxiety reading this book. Because I actually... So I'm 50 pages from the end. Surprise, surprise. Lucy didn't finish her book.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean...
For Lucy scale, that's like...
I could not continue reading because I was... I had to sit on the tube and breathe slowly in and out because I was reading these graphic descriptions of dead people and of people having bits of their throat cut out. This is not spoiler-free. And I was just like, this is awful. Like... My poor, fragile little body reads about stuff on the news all the time, and now I just like escapism and Kardashians, and this is quite intense for my poor brain.
It is, it's just very, like, in some ways it's a really skilled way of writing, where you feel like you're actually having your chest ripped out when you read about other people, but you're just like, I'm fear for my body. I was literally, like, watching around for people being like, is somebody going to try and take my power? Like, you don't have any power, Lena.
And it does kind of escalate at the end.
Yeah.
Can I ask an introductory question? Mm-hmm. Do you like dystopian fiction? I love dystopian fiction.
Got a fan of
it. It's like been my favorite genre for like the first time I discovered it. I was 11, and I haven't gone back since. Yeah, the first one I read was about the end of the world, and I thought it was amazing.
She's like the dame of dystopian.
I love it.
I like certain types of dystopia, so I think I like literary dystopia. I loved Station Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
I like old, like I really like 1984. Brave New World, like that kind of thing.
I think I like apocalyptic more than dystopian, I think, but it all kind of blends together sometimes.
But I haven't really bought into the whole genre. So yeah, I wouldn't go for something because it's dystopian. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'd probably be like, oh, do we do that again? Okay, we're doing it again. You know, there's got to be another hook in it for me.
I like when it mixes with historical in a weird way. Mm. And that, because I like historical fiction as well, so that's nice. And that happens in this, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Spoilers. I hate dystopian fiction with an absolute passion. I remember reading 1984 and being like, why have I read this? What was the point? What was the point? Like, I get it. You know, I
Because you wanted
conceptually...
to think about rats burrowing through people's cheeks. Like,
I
haven't
read 1984. This is a confession. I have not read it.
Okay, I'll let me read it with you if you want.
You okay. Really, really should, because it... Like, the way that my mum put it to me was, imagine reading this in what would it have been? Yeah, the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first...
1948.
1948, really?
Because he published it in 1948 for 1984.
Interesting.
Apart from it took him a long time, so I think it was actually published in 1949.
It wasn't quite not on time. But yeah, my mum was
not
like...
Not everybody hits the deadline, you know, not even George Orwell. Sorry.
No, my mum was just like, you have to read it, imagining that you hadn't heard concepts like this before.
Hmm.
Or like a Big Brother, because you've obviously grown up in a time where Big Brother exists.
Mm. Yeah.
I think your first dystopian book does a lot of things to you.
Mm.
It makes an impression. But it just left me, like, I felt like I read about someone's boring life for, like, a whole book. And then I read Handmaid's Tale and I felt the same. And so there's something, I'm a very much the sort of person that, as we established from the Kardashians, like, some lighthearted, you know. Mm-hmm. I want something that's not going to make me think too much.
Yeah, not a lot of lighthearted dystopia.
No.
Yeah.
And that's not gonna happen. I did enjoy this book.
I think a good lesson from that is that, like, dystopias are kind of there to warn you of the extremes, and if you carry on the same path you're carrying on, what's the slippery slope down?
Yeah.
And the slippery slope down is often like gory and horrifying, but it's also really fucking boring, so let's avoid an apocalypse, because it sounds horrifyingly boring.
I also discovered recently I hate Black Mirror, and it's not because I don't think it's amazing, because my fragile little heart can't handle it.
Too gory.
It's just too everything.
Netflix
I think...
is for friends, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
That's what Netflix is for.
Netflix and chill. Not Netflix on the edge of my seat with heart palpitations.
Netflix and kill.
Yeah. I just can't. Yeah. So there was the one, what's the one on the spaceship? That was fine. Oh yeah. I enjoyed that.
What? Oh no, I was thinking of, what's the one that you made me watch? Serendipity.
That's meant to be a good one.
The with the ship and it got cancelled and the you can't take the sky from me.
Serenity.
Yes. Serendipity.
I mean, close.
That's also a very good film.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get into it, because I'm realizing this about other podcasts, when people don't explain what the book's about, can we do a little rundown?
Because I often listen when I haven't read the book, and actually it makes me want to read the book.
You
even though there's
some
spoilers.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Right, how do we explain The Power? The Power is a dystopian book, novel, about... it's following 5 or 6 people's lives as they experience this phenomenon where women develop something called a skein in their neck, which means that they have electric powers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone explain it.
I just think about an eel.
They can conduct electricity, and it starts, what I think is really interesting, the way she chose to start it was, it starts in teenage girls.
Yeah.
And it's this dormant gene that's been around for a long time, and it's part of evolution, and it's just this way
and
that
this
we're
organ
evolving.
That people now have. I keep pointing at where it is.
It's an organ in your collarbone.
Yeah.
Which I think is very elegant. It's very fashionable. I love it.
But also, it means it can be visible.
Yeah.
So it's like you can kind of hide it, but it's also...
But it's there. Yeah. It's like this kind of... Yeah.
It's also one of the most sensitive bones in your body in terms of if you break it. Having fractured it.
Ooh.
Agonising.
Really? Oh my
Absolutely
god, no wonder you didn't like
agonizing.
This book. I never had any pain in that.
I had proper twinges for at least 2 years after I fractured it.
No.
It was awful.
Collarbones are just for putting glitter on when you go out. That's all I've used.
I can't even touch this one now where it was.
Don't talk about glitter.
I've got the heebie-jeebies.
Oh god, yeah.
Glitter is a whole other thing
okay,
in this book.
So basically the teenage girls get it first. they can teach other people to do it. So they start teaching the younger girls how to do it, and people, girls start being born being able to do it. And they also start teaching some of the older women to do it. And it's this cool metaphor of like women passing on power to power, yeah. and other generations passing the power back, and that. But the plot centres around how that affects all these different characters. So the main character is called...
Ali.
Mm-hmm. And she grows up in a children's home and then gets passed on to these parents.
Yes, basically, she's like a foster family.
The women are angry women. So all of the characters we follow are women in this book, other than Tunde, who's documents everything and is a reporter. But yeah, the idea is that the power has been like... kind of released within them, and the way
like
they deal
with it.
Ready
to burst out.
Yeah,
because they've been, like, suppressed or something
horrible. Yeah, or they've suffered,
to them.
Yeah, horrible gendered violence.
Yeah.
Or, you know, been abused as children. And those are the people with the most power. And then it turns the whole world on its head.
Yeah.
As it would.
Yeah, so we follow a guy who's a reporter. He's a self-made YouTube star reporter.
Everything gets posted on YouTube, and there's forum discussions. It's really interesting.
He just goes out with, is it his phone that he films
digital
on?
Digital camera is what he gets at the end, because he doesn't want to be tracked or something. I don't know.
Right.
And so then we've got the woman who is a politician and her daughter.
In the US, right?
In the
US. Yeah. It's like wants
Margo.
To be a senator.
Yeah. We've got Ali, who is kind of the main character, who is abused as a foster child and runs away from home. Moves into a convent and starts
becomes totally new.
Yeah, she
reinvents herself.
She co-ops Christianity and turns it into the idea of the mother, not the father, not the holy. Yeah, not the father, and so becomes Mother Eve because she can control her power really intensely.
And I feel like she also hears a voice. Like I feel like she almost has a calling.
Yeah,
she does
like
a
prophet.
Yeah.
She's kind of like a prophet, and she's trained her. But she's quite aware that she's trained her force enough. Her force.
She's really learned how to control
it,
and she's like really using it to like its
heal people a bit as well.
Yeah, and this voice is kind of commanding to her to do very like strange things, and like she trusts it a lot. But it also like, to forgive me for linking inappropriate books together, but it reminds me of the goddess voice in 50 Shades of Grey, where she's like, the goddess took me over and I couldn't know what to do. The goddess voice inside me was telling me to do it. And I was like, oh God. Anyway, so it reminds me of that.
Roxy
is an odd character.
She and her family remind me of the Glorious Heresies, if any of you have read that. When I was reading those chapters, I was thinking, oh, like, I feel like I was back in that book, because it's kind of like a criminal family, basically.
It kind of reminded me of EastEnders.
So the idea is that they're London gangsters that have drug businesses, and they kill a lot of people.
And they just seem like they're family, but then they also seem ruthless, just against each other and everyone around them.
Yeah, so there's lots of death with Roxy's chapters. And she ends up running this drug cartel thing.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Selling this drug that the women can take, and it's like cut with coke.
Yeah.
And it makes
enhances their powers.
And it's called glitter.
Which I love.
It was just like a commentary on how much glitter there is in like fashionable women's things at the moment. I was like, unicorns and glitter. Are you trying to tell
to
us
be
something?
Honest, if you were going to design a drug for me, glitter.
Like, is the one.
Make it shiny. I'm not saying I take it. I'm
just saying.
If you're trying to make it as appealing as possible.
Is that all the characters that we follow? I think so.
Margot.
Yes.
Ali,
well, we haven't talked about the first people that we meet in the book, which is kind of outside of the book. I don't know if we want to start with that. There's this book ending
of the book.
Yes.
I don't know if book ending is the technical term, but
this
a sandwich, if you will.
Yes.
So
it's two authors writing to each other. Mm-hmm. One author, a male author, talking about the book that he's written. And then a female author writing back, and the female author is called Naomi. But it's not the person that has written this book.
She could have picked any name. She picked Naomi, so I feel like this, she's supposed to be telling us something here.
The implication is that they live beyond this time, beyond this historical time that's happened, historic fiction time, and women are in charge.
Yeah.
And so it must be every editor's letter she's ever received that she's now parodying. because it's just Naomi
right,
being
so is
like...
Is she an editor or is she an author? I can't remember.
I think she was a higher academic.
Okay.
So he was in her class. She'd studied with him. She...
it kind of implies that she'd taken kind of some kind of sexual advantage of him at some point.
Oh.
She's a patronizing authoritative voice. Because the very first sentence is, it says, the letter is coming from the Men Writers Association, which that already says a lot. Well, for me, see, I don't know much about the world of books and publishing, but for you two, that was such a, like, ah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Yeah. Like, is he going to submit for his men's literature prize?
Yeah, the Foster's Prize for Men.
Yeah.
which would be amazing. Anyway, in this far, far future, they have no idea about our world. They have no idea that it was ever, and interspersed between each chapter is a fictional artifact from either our time or the time when the transition was going on.
Yeah.
And there's all these debate about whether you can...
So it's like either a drawing of an artifact or there's like little chapter bits. Mm. There's like this instructional manual for men on how to stay safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of those things that read like, you know, a direct flip of something that you might have read in our world.
Yeah. And also there's one that's based on a real statue, but it's got bits of iPad stuck to it.
Really?
They tell you at the end that it's a real statue, but they just like drew some iPad on it. Anyway, which I quite enjoyed. I can't find it now.
I felt like when I started reading this book, I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen, because you know it's leading up to something. It starts with 10 years to go, 5 years to go. And I think the closer you get, the closer to like realizing what's going to happen you get. But I feel like I started reading it, I didn't know what was going to happen.
I didn't realize. I was assuming a war. But then this whole thing is like, it's in a time where it's modern enough that there is... like, there's chat forums that are scarily accurate. I don't know if either of you read that chat forum.
Yeah.
It's like a 4chan forum. And, like, I've read very similar things. It's fascinating. Mm,
yeah, so it seems like
texting and...
they were really advanced, like we were, then something happened, and now it seems like it's back to not quite normal.
Yeah. Can we talk about whether this book, like, what did you think this book was going to be? And what? So for me, like, one of the overarching... things that I thought it was going to be was, like, I'd heard people, because, you know, it's feminist publishing world, people like, you have to read The Power, and I'm like, I will read The Power. And, like, basically all they told me about it was, like, it's this world where women get this power where they can electrocute men.
Yeah,
and I was
exactly.
Sounds great. A little bit of wish fulfillment, a bit of, you know, probably a bit, like, dirty, damn dirty, but, like, you know.
I thought it was going to be, sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, and I found it was a lot more neutral and a lot more... historical and a lot more, like, it had a lot of, she didn't commit to a certain point of view, I don't think, apart from the overarching point, which I think is either gender could have done this. The way we live now, it could have been either one of us. And I found it a lot more nuanced and a lot more graphic than I thought it was going to be. And I was happy about the nuance and I was sad about the graphic.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be very much more a shorter time slot. So maybe talking about like a month or something like that, not on this massive scale that it is. And I also thought, in my head, I thought, okay, if this power develops, instant chaos, instant, you know, but I feel like it was a lot more realistic probably in this way where people start making laws, people start controlling it. Obviously, you wouldn't instantly just like burn down the whole world.
Mm. Yeah. I also wasn't expecting it to be international.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm really glad it had a real international, you were jumping between different countries.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one character as well, and now you get so many different,
not different timelines, different stories. Yeah, I'm glad. I thought it worked really well together. I thought, I don't know if this is the right place to say it, but like I thought it was, as soon as we start getting the switch over from a male-dominated world to a female-dominated world, properly, like, towards the middle end of the book, all the language becomes incredibly cliché. All the women are saying to the men is, like, direct quotes of the classic things men say to women. And that almost felt disingenuous with the rest of the book, where I think everyone was saying stuff that their characters would have actually said.
Mm.
It instantly flipped for me, as though women were now like, we are the powerful ones! We discriminate against everyone! I don't know.
Because you think it would have taken more generations for that kind of language to evolve, and it would have evolved differently.
100%. It must have just been on a power high, though. I feel like...
But that,
like, imagine if that happens so quickly, you suddenly live in a world where everything's been, like, totally flipped. But then I also was surprised that a lot of the women are still super scared. Like, they're powerful, and some of them go totally mad with power.
Mm.
And then some of them are still scared, because instantly the men go, this isn't good. We need to do something against this.
Yeah, so you have to pretend that you don't have it.
Or... Yeah. 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 Because that's what one of the character who's like a politician has to like prove that she doesn't have it.
Yeah, so there's a law that comes in America where like if you're a woman and you have the power, you can't be in parliament, which is the opposite of power. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's not what I thought I'd get from a book like this, and it was very exciting to be like, oh my god, like, oh yeah, of course it wouldn't be as simple as like, oh, and then all the female politicians would sort it out. Like, you'd outlaw it. You'd outlaw something that gave you that much power.
But there's that whole chapter with Margot at the dinner party where she sees a boy she fancies and she like describes him like a piece of meat and then does everything really, really stereotypical. And I'm like, your attitude as a 50 or 60 year old woman would not have changed that fast.
You would have remembered what it was
like.
Yeah,
like she grabs this guy's bum when she's in the lift with him and stuff. I mean, it's not consensual. Like consent is something that's discussed quite a lot, I think, in The Power. And like, it just seems like there's a point where women stop asking for consent. Yeah. And I'm like, after years, and lots of these women have been through sexual abuse, I don't think that's the exact reaction that just hits after 5 years of having the power. You're right. They're like, let's abuse people. Like, I don't know. There's I don't know. It doesn't feel that
I
wouldn't
believe that's true.
Yeah.
I think you've got,
I found it interesting how they also explored that I'd instantly turn into some sort of kink.
Yeah.
Like having, so the, I loved that. Some of the men being, Can you use my butt?
Yeah,
can you use the power on me, basically?
Yeah, because like, it became, instead of something that was just like, because initially it was so out of control, and so like women would just electrocute boys and they die, basically.
Yeah,
because
they didn't know how to control the power.
As soon as they could control it, it was like you give people little jabs, and it's like a playful thing, and it's...
Yeah. And also you can like your control physical strength. Control people without other people really knowing what's going on and sort of like threatening them in that way.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting that it kind of didn't redress the balance, because obviously the men are still physically stronger. Like, if they, you know, like, if they wanted to overpower them physically and they didn't have the power, they'd still be stronger.
Mm.
But, like, it didn't equalise things. It wasn't like, oh, and now the women have a power too, we can all live happily. It was like, doesn't equalise things, actually created loads of divisions because, female kids and male kids were being split in schools.
Oh yeah, so they instantly say. I think the first day they're like,
"Boys, girls, but in fairness, wouldn't like I thought that was such a realistic reaction. If because all the girls were just getting because they're so hormonal and so angry.
Yeah,
like as a teenage girl, I was like depressed and angry and all the feelings. Like it makes total sense that had I been anywhere near boys, I shouldn't have been near
them. And I feel like any parents were just like, this doesn't feel quite right, we have to split this up until we figure out what the hell to do.
Because it seemed to be temporary, didn't it? Like,
But I think there is, like, because some of it's, like, interesting because I think some communities of women, in quite rightly, feel very, like, inherently shamed and angry with men. And then for them to have this power all at once, like, in one country, there were gangs of women going, like, who were sex slaves, ganging up together and killing their mass, which is, like, you know, in some ways, like, when it started, I was like, yeah!
Yeah,
like,
and the convent as well.
Yeah, and having that convent where people are having, like, a kind of, like, really big sisterly experience, but then it getting out of hand. But it was interesting because I think, like, there's lots of times I think that female communities do have the capacity for that, where they can be like, well, men have gone through all of this, they can at least handle this thing. Or like, you know, like, I think in some friendship groups I've been in the past, there've been women who are like, well, men get all this and men get all that, so they can buy me 3 diamond rings, you know, or like, or like, they have to do this, you know, like, these are the loopholes they have to jump through because I feel like I've been hard done by, which they have been. But it's weird because then once you feel like you've been hard done by, you raise the stakes for the other person. And I think that part of it is this, like, revenge culture of like being like, right, now we've got the power, you're all fucking dead.
Right. Yeah. It's such a different situation, it's whether, like, it's like a teenage girl in the US versus these women in some sort of, you know, terrible, like, dark building in a random European country that have been there for 20 years and will probably never leave it. Like, them getting the power. Yeah. Like, it's such a different dynamic when you read it.
Also, the mob thing. There's that bit where they go to the police station. And Ali's describing everyone as, like, the atmosphere is literally electric.
Mm.
Like, women are murmuring, and it's what protests are like when there's mainly women. Like, it's just, like, murmuring and excitement, and there's this energy, and, like, but they're not aggressive. But there's a definite sense of camaraderie, and I think that towards the end of the book turns very aggressive.
Yeah, and there's always, like, I think the single people in the crowd that are a bit more...
Yeah.
That have different intentions.
But it's very interesting. It is like uprisings and revolution and
is but that. People don't know what they're revolutionising to or for.
What's going to be the result? Get rid of the men.
Yeah.
And then there's still the day-to-day as well, which is really funny because, like, politics still happen and school still happens.
And they keep referring back to the news. Yeah, oh, this was the other thing as well, the random guy getting sexualized on the news all the time. I was like, I just don't
I loved it
because it is a parody, but it was definitely that feeling of I don't think that much would have changed in 4 years.
Like, they're basically like
we'd literally be like, oh, sexy little man on screen. Oh, what piece of meat he is. Like, it just doesn't seem
You're like, and yeah, I think he's like one of the presenters and they're like, oh, and now here's Jim with his abs and the news. You know, like, they just say stuff that was like outlandish, but found that quite funny.
But it's so unbelievable. Like, I found bits of it so believable, and then something like that would come in and I'd be like, that's like maybe the 1960s 1940s of, like, whereas everything else is up to date in terms of technology.
Yeah,
it feels odd that we then recede 60 to 70
wait, do you mean
years
on the news?
That's
still there
when you
watch certain, like,
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
American news shows and the way that the male presenters talk to the female presenters. So one of my questions was, what would it be like for a guy to read this book? Because obviously we're three women reading this. And I feel like this book sometimes felt a little bit like watching Wonder Woman in the cinema. There were certain scenes where you're like, this is so incredible. I've never seen anything like this before. Before this gets out of hand, obviously. Mm. But yeah, I wonder, I haven't talked to any guys, I think, that have read this. And I'm just really curious what it would be like.
I haven't met any guys that have read it either.
Yeah,
really?
Which is
weird.
I wish my boyfriend wasn't dyslexic. I'd be like, go right ahead.
It must be a strange experience to read this.
Yeah, it would be.
I wonder if as much stuff, because the stuff that I'm like, that's a really obvious, that's my only criticism of this book, is some of it, when it turns, I'm like, that's too obvious to put in this really intelligent book.
But is it so obvious because we're so used
to
it?
Yeah, exactly. Is it so obvious because we've been parodying it in our own videos?
Yeah, and like amongst ourselves.
And it's constantly parodied in the circles I'm in. And
so I was talking about, there's like this little insert of protective men's clothing that they can wear so they don't get electrocuted, which is kind of like, I was talking about, there's like clothing that women wear. It's like anti-rape shorts and things like that. And I feel like there might be things that, wouldn't be as obvious to guys reading it.
It made me think about how I'd act towards the men in my life if it happened. Because I'd want to be, you know, in The Handmaid's Tale where they have this conversation where they take away all of the women's credit cards.
Oh, yeah, and the guy's like,
don't worry about it, I'll give you money if you need it.
Don't make a fuss.
That's what I'd probably do, and then I'd probably be a dick. But, like, I'd be the person who'd be like,
I'll protect
your carer. You know, like,
Yeah.
And that was really interesting.
If you're in the position where you no longer have the power, it's very different from if you're the person who then suddenly is, like, on top in society. Mm. And you're like, it's fine.
And I also think that if I was a guy, I would, I don't know, I think I'd react to it really differently because I think, like, the violence towards men shook me up in this book.
Mm.
But I see violence towards men a lot, but it's usually male-on-male violence.
Yeah.
I can't really think of many instances in any media where I've seen women hit men.
And I
felt really bad about the men in the book. I was like, I felt really sorry for them. But then I'm so desensitized to women being hurt in books, I didn't
literally
really notice
it. Literally
what
I was about to say. Like, I was, like, especially the scenes which involve sexual assault. Yeah, with the gendered violence, I felt so incredibly sorry for the men in the book who were experiencing that. However, I feel completely desensitized, and I think to women who experience that when I read about it, partially because I see women as coming out the other side stronger, whereas for men experiencing it for the first time, the same way for women who experience it the first time, must be devastating. Like, absolutely devastating.
There's definitely...
But I'm used to hearing stories of women rising through it and becoming public speakers. And
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
So true.
I'm used to this narrative where we're really strong in the face of being a victim, whereas I'm not used to men being victims at all. So I'm like, oh my God, you poor thing, you can't even do anything now.
There's definitely moments where Tunde suddenly goes, I am totally helpless. Like, yeah. There's nothing I can do to save myself now. I'm totally at the mercy of this.
Yeah.
This woman.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like, initially in that first instance where he's assaulted, the other women are like, get rid of this crazy woman. With like kind of defending him with their own powers. And then what is it the second time when he's running away from that woman in the woods? I don't know if that happens again. Again, last 50 pages haven't been read. Yeah, that's where he's like, I'm defenseless. I'm going to die.
What a cheerful read.
Yeah, it's a book, isn't it? But I do wonder what the experienced men would have reading it, and if they get the level of nuance or get the kind of female camaraderie elements all through the beginning. Because I think reading about the convent was like the nicest reading experience I've had in a while.
Really? Because it quite creeped me out. Like, yeah. I thought it was nice, but it was also like...
You can kind of see where it's heading.
Really? Yeah. Do you think? Oh, no, I loved it. Don't know why.
I was having a good old time.
It was kind of like a wizarding school. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. It was like,
and they
warm,
also went in the sea.
And nice. Yeah, and they went in the sea. And like, I'm all about creepy women getting together. Like,
yeah, it was
just
very
cults.
Do you know, it was very Virgin Suicide.
I literally.
They created this like weird shriny environment for themselves. And they all like acted as one.
Yeah.
But yeah, the religious aspects were really scary. And like... very possible.
Well, it all happens in my degree. We did a lot of it about Africa. Like, as soon as the whole thing looks like the way that Christianity spread around Africa, and it was taken on in like local religion within Africa and kind of pieced together with their own stuff they already had. And so stuff was reinterpreted. You have 60 gazillion kinds of Christianity in it. Across, this is a huge generalization, obviously, but there are many different kinds of flavors in the same way there are here. We've got all the denominations, it's just not as structured. But that's how religion spreads.
I feel like in this book, they kind of take what they think is useful and then they add some bits to it to make it work for them.
But that is literally how that is religion. So for me, it wasn't. I don't know. I was like, lol.
Yeah. And I think this is so accurate. This is kind of a spoiler, but also just like an amazing part of the book that I think needs to be talked about is that Ali, who turns into Mother Eve or turns herself into Mother Eve, this huge religious character, kind of her driving motivation for being that person is because she's running from this home life that was with this foster mum and dad, where the guy like consistently raped her and took her power away, all under the guise of Christianity. So for her to kind of turn that on her head and make herself a matriarch of that religion,
yeah, like let me show you what this is.
Family.
Yeah.
And she doesn't hear from them. She changes her name. She gets her friend Roxy to delete her identity, and then near the end of the book, she encounters the woman at the end because she actually kills the man. She encounters the woman again. The woman's remarried. Created a very similar environment to the one that she had before with more children in it and kind of completely assigns her inspiration for that home to Mother Eve and to Ali and says, like, I've been watching your progress since you left us and you've inspired. And what she's done is she's ran away from that environment and created an environment that inspires it. And that was really like...
That's scary.
You know, a lot of it is bathos where you're like, yeah, this is a revelation, women in charge, everything's going to be fine. You're like, I know, it's concentric circles.
Yeah. There are still bad people.
Yeah.
Concentric circles is a wonderful description for it.
Yeah.
Oh, human nature.
It's, oh my God. Okay, also, the best, again, another spoiler, but like, the line, the very last line at the end of the book, can I just read it?
Well, properly with them, these are during the letters between Naomi and
so this is right
the male
the
author who theoretically wrote this book.
So she's not really convinced that there was this other world before theirs, where men are in charge.
So they only know a world where women are in power, and this guy's going, I think it was actually
Yeah, and he's very, I'm probably wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've got all of this information. I think I'm on the right track. But you tell me, Naomi, because, you know, you taught me how to study. And then the last line of it is like, Neil, I know this might be very distasteful to you, but have you considered publishing this book under a woman's name? Best, Naomi.
Oh, my Lord.
That was like, I think for me, that I was like, because I was like, what is the intention of this author? Where is she going? What's the thing? And I'm like, she's turning on his head and she's saying that it's going to be bad either way. There's no inherent goodness in women. There's only, which I think is a really good thing for us to remember as feminists, is like, because sometimes I think we can get into like a girl gang thing that's really cool, but the girl gang is only born out of an unequal society, and I think men would probably find that camaraderie in themselves eventually if they, you know, they find it in different ways.
I think
ways.
They do
have it in some way, but I think it's also like this thing of like, we're like girl gangs, we're better, we can make better decisions, like we should get women into power because they're better and they're more nurturing. And not true. No. We should have them in power because they fucking should be there. You know, and like it's the same thing. It's like there's nothing inherently good about us, it's just that we're like equally bad and good.
Yeah. But we have experienced depression.
Yeah.
On various and, levels, depending on...
Something that reminds me of that is this whole, like, Melania fiasco. And I felt like she was parodying Melania, even though I don't know when she wrote it, but before it's published. But the woman who is married to the powerful politician kills him and then takes his place as the leader of the country and leads this huge... creates a new country out of all these other countries and leads this huge horrific war, and I'm like, Melania, she'd do that.
Really think
she'd 100%. It was really funny to me. I was
just
like,
published now. It was recent, wasn't it? Like 2016.
Yeah, but I feel like it takes a long time to like write books.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah, this would have taken a while to write.
Yeah,
to even clear your head enough to.
So I don't know if she'd met Melania as we have now.
But, no, 2016. No.
But I think from what I've heard from people is that Naomi Alderman had Margaret Atwood took her under her wing and helped her like edit this book.
Yes,
like,
I want to talk about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes. Do you want to talk about Handmaid's Tale?
Yes, please.
I'd like to disclose that I don't remember much of The Handmaid's Tale. I just remember not enjoying it. And don't let the bastards grind you down.
So I read The Handmaid's Tale last year for the very first time, and I read it and I thought, why have I not read this before? This is the book for me.
I can't believe you were into dystopian fiction. You hadn't
lot of the classics I haven't read. So I read that, and then this felt like the perfect companion read. Also because The Handmaid's Tale has that bit at the end, like the bit where they sort of discuss The Handmaid's Tale, spoilers for The Handmaid's Tale, in a historical setting as well. So they look back on that and go, oh, was that really what it was like? And so that's definitely where I saw the parallels with this.
That's cool. I do like that it was framed with the letters, even though I wasn't ready for it. I was like, I just kept thinking back about it and being like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this context?
You're like, well, that was probably my favourite.
I really liked it.
I love that.
Once it was resolved, I was like, yeah.
I think if you read these two, whether you read The Power first and then The Handmaid's Tale the other way around, I think they're such an interesting combination, and obviously...
Yeah.
Like, are so, like, closely linked as well.
You should definitely read both and definitely read The Handmaid's Tale first to understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're gonna.
I also think what's interesting, like, the sum of the power dynamics that people who are, like, professing to be good people but don't say they're feminist, that those power dynamics, those things that are like, that's natural, that's just how men and women are. Like, that old argument that I still frequently meet in my day-to-day life. can be turned on its head really easily when, like, you know, they're talking about it in retrospect, and they're like, but why would anybody think that men are naturally in charge? Women birth children. That is the leading role in any society. Why would you think men? We're set up to endure more pain than men. We go through childbirth, which is pretty fucking hard.
Joy.
You know, there's lots of stuff like that you could argue it like makes like the female traits superior to men's, in the same way you can argue that men's makes it. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm just thinking of right now, and like kind of was thinking during it, like, how do transgender people fit into this world? Like, do people
have that discussion of the men born with skeins?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And they're like, people don't know how to react.
Well, people shame them. I love, in a way, how instantly people who can't use their power properly are labelled as kind of less woman, in a way, and then men who have it can't tell anyone.
But then there's also the men that want the scheme. They want that power.
So I think it is, it's not explored maybe as well as it could be. Could definitely have a follow-up book.
Yeah.
This could, I like it as an entity in itself. But there's
I love one-off books. I'm all for the one-off books.
Yeah, I think it makes them classics. As soon as you turn it into a trilogy, will it ever be a classic? I don't know.
Lord of the Rings?
Obviously a classic.
Is that really a classic?
But it's a flavour of classic.
Also, we had The Hobbit standalone. Not, but also awful book. Anyway, not the point. I also think it's interesting, like, with The Handmaid's Tale and this book and quite a few other, like, feminist dystopians, is they're packaged with this bright red packaging that's that screams communism.
God, yeah, this is the first thing I thought of when I saw this book was, is it a communist book?
So the hardback was very different. It was it was red as well, but it was a picture of a hand with some like silver electric sort of things coming from it.
I think
this is a very different approach.
I'm gonna Google.
And I really like this one.
I think the American cover looks this like cover. That, and I love this much more. I think this has like a
this
bit
makes
of
a statement. It definitely makes a statement. Electrifying, says Margaret Atwood. I love
that. I bet she was very happy.
Yeah. She's the only word you need. Clearly got the email from Naomi like, hey, I need a quote for the front. Would you mind? I know it will pull in like the right readership. And she'd be like, sure. Electrifying. Like as a little joke between those two.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant.
Margaret Atwood actually said electrifying. Shocking. The puns keep coming. I love it. It's good.
So I actually find, okay, I've just found the image of the Powers like cover hardback. I'm really freaked out by veins and all operational veins.
No, that's not good for you.
So like I've just seen that and got proper heebie-jeebies. There's actually I won't talk about it. There's just this like because a pair of holes concentric.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They also talk
about
as
you see it, you can't unsee it. Never Google it, Luna.
I'm not gonna.
Good. They also talk in a book about how when you get shocked, when like the power is used on you, you almost keep this tattoo on your arm of like
it's scarring.
It going through your arm.
Yeah, I honestly, all of that patterning absolutely makes me want to vomit in my mouth. So yeah, I'm really glad we have this cover. I'd imagine that was good. Some like feedback they got from like reader response. I was like, please no.
So basically the guy who is questioning Naomi at the end says like, I have to say, I don't think much of evolutionary psychology, at least how it relates to gender. As to whether men are more naturally peaceful and nurturing than women, that will be up to the reader to decide, I suppose. But consider this, are patriarchies peaceful because men are peaceful? Or do more peaceful societies tend to allow men to rise to the top because they place less value on the capacity for violence? Just asking him a question.
I would just like to write an essay on this. Yeah, I just want to write an essay about this book. I just want to dissect it.
I just
want to
do it
on
the
little
letters. Yeah. Mm. I really want to show them some of the like 4chan equivalent conversation because I just
is that in that grey bit? In
yeah, yeah. That's this.
Oh no, that's the research. Oh yeah, this bit. Where's that?
What page are you on? 144 is some of the most accurate.
Turn to 144 in your hymn books.
So, it's the comment section. Of the Daily Mail. Like, it is 4chan. It is
guru gossip.
Yeah, oh my lord. It is every awful forum you've ever experienced or comment section. Anyway, so the major, like, idea of the news is that Mother Eve's identity is being linked very closely with the identity of a 16-year-old who killed her adoptive father. So, you know, they're finding out Ali's identity, kind of. And it's the discussion about this revelation, And it's based on some very loose connection. And the first comment is, these photos have very clearly been doctored. Look at the way the light's shining on her face. And then someone else is like, it's well known that it is Alison. Like, this has been reported before many times. This is such non-news. there's so many of just like, why are you sucking up to this guy? You're clearly sucking his dick. And like, loads of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, and then people are like talking about stuff that's potentially true, and then other people are like, don't feed the trolls.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying all the usernames.
Yeah, they're so funny.
One of them is The Lord is Watching.
Oh yeah. Buck You. I think Buck You has commented on my channel before. Hi Buck You again. You've really survived some really bad revolutions.
And then there's all these theories on when she, because one guy's like, how on earth would she have ended up in this, at this, what's it called? Convent 10 days after she murdered him. they've clearly doctored the date she arrived. Mm. We all, obviously, us as readers, know that she did arrive at that 10-day point. Mm. And people are like, no one can walk that fast. And like, wouldn't she have died? Like, people just doctored the dates on the sermons. We don't even know when she first started. And it's just, all these conversations are what you have about celebrities on the internet.
Yeah.
Or you read about people. And then just like, those speeches she makes, I'd fucking murder the cunt for free. It's just unreal. Yeah, like, fucking stupid little lying bitch cunt. Like, it's just how the internet reads. Anyway, I just find it's ridiculous. Oh, and people making up fake stories about their 9-year-old son getting electrocuted by a 9-year-old girl who told him to join the convent.
Right.
Yeah.
Who was your favourite character in this?
Ali.
Roxy.
Oh, mine was the reporter who I can't say the name of. Say his name.
Oh, Tunde.
Tunde.
I did really like him. We haven't mentioned Roxy and the drugs. Or the drugs in general. There's loads of coke in this book.
That Roxy sort of is... She takes over the business, doesn't she?
Yeah, so she's dealing this glitter, which is, we've explained, I think, earlier in the podcast, kind of cut with coke, and then this power-enhancing drug that they're dishing out to all the soldiers who are the women now, and dishing out to all these people. It's like a kind of iridescent light blue unicorn colour.
Mm.
The same as all the unicorn highlighters. If anyone uses like Fenty.
The holographic.
The holographic.
Put up your nose, see what happens. That's what I'm saying. Might get the power. I'm not endorsing that. Although I don't think anything bad would happen to you if you put unicorn highlighter up your nose. We'll move on. Summer.
The thing, what happens to Roxy is that her mother gets murdered and she is there. And then there's just this point where... when she's a bit older and she... Does she already have... I think she has the... Does it awaken it in her?
It awakens it in her seeing her mum die.
Yeah, and then she basically sort of grabs power of this empire.
Mm. Yeah, and then her parents take it... Her parents, her dad and brother take it back off her by stealing her spleen.
Her skin!
Oh, it's so horrible. That was the bit of the book where I was like...
Yeah.
It's just a really graphic description of someone getting something cut out of them.
Yeah, not great.
However, yeah, there is so much, like... drug enhancement of it. It's the same with what you said about the sex, Sana, of like, of course people, like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah, they're gonna...
Of course people are gonna find drugs that enhance that experience.
Yeah.
Mm. Or drugs that make them feel fearless. And it was just quite a big... So the thing that really interested me was that not only is Roxy doing this, she is totally endorsed by Mother Eve, who is meant to be the spiritual leader of this revolution.
There's this whole, like,
she is completely connected to the army of this new country founded by the Melania character, who I can't even remember the name of, who's...
Well, let's just call her Melania, because I definitely think that's what Naomi Oldman was trying to tell us.
But what's so interesting is it's a microcosm of corruption, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
And so accurately written, potentially. Unbelievable. Yeah, you're right, because... I completely believed that whole drug ring could have been... And, like... the way that Mother Eve, with Roxy's help, has fake IDs, is putting all of her money away in the Caymans. Like, all of the money of the church is in the Caymans.
And Scientology is healing people and just being such a fantastic role model and really bringing all these people together.
Doing something good, though, in a way. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's got a flavour of good to it.
But then also, I think she, like, heals people and then it's only temporary for most of them. But she's, like, healing them on TV.
Mm. Yeah.
The internet.
And then they won't bring the people who are too bad. Like, they do an assessment.
Yeah, they only
beforehand.
Bring the people that they know she can heal.
Yeah. It's sad. But it's so accurate. Like, that whole... The connection with the drugs and all the people and how they all connect up is really sad but true, I think. And the way they talk to the reporter guy Tunde as well. So accurate.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, like, how much his reporting was being suppressed and how much people started to trust it because he was uploading it to YouTube and to all these, like, other sites and not... He wasn't one of the news outlets because the news outlets weren't reporting it.
But then, the news outlets want his stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody reports him dead. Anyway, read it if you haven't read it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some of it I'm like...
So much intrigue! So many twists! If someone's going to read it after all these spoilers, I am like, hats off to you because...
But there's still so much that we haven't talked about.
There's so much we haven't talked about, and I think, like, the spoilers that we've talked about are really interesting spoilers, and there's some spoilers that I'm not saying because they're, like, not... Like, they're really interesting, but they're not, like... What else was I going to say?
About Tunde's character?
His way that he can move between, like, societies and countries, but one of his key skills is, like, getting women to trust him. Which is, like, such a weird, like, old dynamic that he used to have in the other world to seduce women, and now he's trying to get them to trust him so that he can get the news. Mm. And, like, that was, I don't know.
Also, it's implied he's Nigerian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I only caught onto that like midway through the book. Mm. And I was like, that's really interesting because he's running around like Delhi and a European, this unnamed European country.
He's you see him in Nigeria at the beginning of the book trying to seduce a girl who has the power and gets electrified.
Yeah. And he also suffers from PTSD from that and the other experiences he has. Anyway, it's fascinating.
I really liked
his character. Realized...
I thought it was an interesting... It's not a character that immediately would be an obvious character to put in it. And then I was like, this is... You know, a teenage boy becomes the news reporter for this huge feminist
movement. And it's a very nice way to be able to see all across the world. Because he's going all across the world. Yeah. The other characters aren't that much. Yeah. So
It's really, really... I actually really loved his character.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't stop thinking he must have stood out so much. And so when the women stopped trusting him... instantly
he's genuinely fucked.
He's actually
with Margaret Atwood. She's always explicitly like, I never put anything in The Handmaid's Tale that hasn't happened in some society in the world already. There's nothing fictional in that fictional book. And I think probably the same is true of Naomi Alderman. Like most of the stuff that I was reading about was horrific, but I was like, that's happened the other way around. Like, that's, you know, especially with the refugee camps and the anyway, excellent read. Would you have sex with this book, Sana? You've been waiting for this question all night, I can tell.
I'd be intrigued and then back away. But not because I don't enjoy the book, but because it seems dangerous.
I would totes have sex with this book if I had the power.
Oh, yeah,
wouldn't
true.
That be kinky?
That would be good. Man, it'd be electrifying, some would say. I would totally have sex with this book and then read a book about having sex with this book and be like, what are the historical implications of me having sex with this book? And then have like a massive meltdown about time. And then be like, did anybody record me having sex with this book? Will people believe that I had sex with this book? It could go on.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm never sure what this metaphor is at the end of this podcast and what we mean by
it. I want to have sex with parts of the book and not the whole book every time we do this.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really want to have sex with the beginning half of this book.
Hmm. Can you do a heat map of which chapters you would have sex with? I need a heat map drawn.
It slowly fades into like a really red... No, it goes from like a red amber to like a blue. Ooh. Green blue of no. No, thank you. I don't want to have sex with an apocalypse. But
fair.
Beginning, 10 out of 10. Good fun.
I like it. Cool.
Great.
Well, thank you for being with us, Sana.
Thanks so much for having me. I've had a great time.
Tell us where we can find you on the internet.
You can find me at youtube.com/booksandquills and on the rest of the internet. With that username as well. Yeah.
Instagram.
Did you collect quills? Or was it just a choice of...
So I wanted something that sounded like it could be like a Hermione-ish username. This was way back in 2008.
Yeah.
And it was also free on all platforms. But apparently it's
that
in
was
the
when
Harry...
men were in charge. It's so long ago.
Yeah. It's in the Harry Potter books. People send me quotes saying there's like a sentence that says books and quills in the Harry Potter books. But I didn't get it from there.
Okay. Oh. Cool. Sorry, just wondered. Slight tangent. Follow us on Twitter. At Banging Book Club.
Yeah.
And our new Instagram. Ooh, which I made when I was bored over the holidays and then got really ill and just stopped uploading.
It's really swanky.
Yeah, we have a nice little Instagram at Banging Book Club. Please come and follow us. February's read is She of the Mountains by Vivek Sharaya. I'm really sorry. sometimes authors listen to these and I feel for them so much about how I pronounce everyone's names. But I will Google and see if I can find an interview with them before... we do our episode. But it's a wonderful poetry. It's poetry, isn't it? Like prose?
It's like
prose?
Poetry prose.
Yeah.
And they wrote another collection called Even This Page Is White. And it's fucking amazing.
And Lena's giving it to me, so
and
I'm taking it.
I'm lending it to Sana right now. It's fucking incredible. It's one of the best poetry collections I've ever read.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
And this one's called #OscarSoWhite.
Cool.
Amazing.
How do we finish these things? Can't remember.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next month.
Yeah.
Bye.